This morning's reading is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 3, starting at verse 1. Now, there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. How can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and do you not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I've spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everyone. Last Sunday, we began Lent together. And some of you gave up chocolate, some of you gave up biscuits, some of you gave up saying you'd given up anything, quite possibly. And now, on the second Sunday of Lent, in our reading today, we meet a man who comes to Jesus at night time. And if anyone's been attending the discipleship school over the last couple of weeks, you'll recognize today's reading as being absolutely central, absolutely fundamental to our salvation as people. So let's open this passage once again and let's ask God to speak his word into our hearts today. In verse 1, John tells us there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. Now, Nicodemus isn't just any man. He's a Pharisee, and he's really serious about the Jewish law, about keeping the Jewish law to the letter. He's a member of the Sanhedrin, which is the ruling council, a bit like Jerusalem Borough Council, I would imagine, but also dealing with the religious stuff as well as the practical stuff. He's educated. Nicodemus is respected, and he is a moral person. So if anyone could be confident before God, you would think it would be Nicodemus. But in verse 2, we read that he comes to see Jesus at night. And that's very significant. Why did he come to see Jesus at night, do you think? Well, he was certainly curious, but he came at night perhaps because he was cautious and concerned about his reputation of being with Jesus. Now, Nicodemus is not hostile to Jesus or his teaching, and he's searching. And that's where many people are today, I believe. Respectable, religious maybe, morally decent, but people are unsure. And so Nicodemus begins with these polite words. He says, "Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher who's come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." He starts with a bit of flattery, but Jesus skips the small talk and says, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." Born again. Not improved, not tweaked, not spiritually rebooted or upgraded, but born again. And Nicodemus is baffled, as well he might be. "Surely," he says, "people can't enter a second time into their mother's womb." But he's thinking physically, and we know that Jesus is speaking spiritually. And Jesus is talking about regeneration, about an internal change that must happen when we decide to follow Christ. And this internal change comes about when God gives us new life through the Holy Spirit. Our Christian identity is not based on changing ourselves or on moral effort or religious performance, but according to Jesus, it's new birth. Nicodemus was already religious. He was already disciplined. And he believed all the things that Jews were supposed to believe in. No question. But Jesus says to him, "You must be born again." And Lent reminds us of this truth. We don't fast our way into the kingdom. We don't improve ourselves into eternal life. We must be given life. And then Jesus says, "No one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit." And when Jesus says this, you can imagine maybe Nicodemus being so steeped in study of scriptures. He will be mentally going back through the Jewish scriptures as Jesus is speaking, and things are going to be connecting for him. He may well have been thinking back to a very famous passage in Ezekiel's book, the book of Ezekiel, where in chapter 36, God promises Israel, "I will sprinkle clean water on you. I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you." Nicodemus was very familiar with all of these words of the Old Testament. The Jews were trying to please God and serve God by keeping lots of laws. But Ezekiel and other prophets had been saying that people needed to have their hearts changed and that God was going to do it. And now, Jesus says, that promised new heart, that cleansing, that spirit, it's happening now. Jesus says, it's happening now through him. The wind blows where it pleases. You can't control it, you can't manufacture it, and you can't schedule the Holy Spirit into our church calendar. The Holy Spirit gives life, which is just wonderfully hopeful to all of us. Maybe it's slightly uncomfortable to those of us who like to control things. But the Spirit gives us new life. And Nicodemus still struggles to understand. So Jesus takes him deeper. And in verse 14, Jesus again refers back to the Old Testament scriptures that he knows Nicodemus will know. And Jesus says, "Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up." This refers to a passage in Numbers, one of the early books of the Bible, when Israel were in the wilderness for 40 years after escaping Egypt. And the people had sinned, and poisonous snakes had come into the camp, and people were being bitten, and people were dying through snake bites. So God instructed Moses to lift up a bronze snake on a pole, and whoever looked at it lived. I know that sounds really strange to our modern ears, doesn't it? But notice this, they didn't cure themselves. They didn't earn their healing from these snake bites. They looked, they had faith, and they lived. And Jesus says, in the same way, the Son of Man must be lifted up. John means the cross. The cross is not an accident or a defeat. It's the place where salvation is won and given. Then we reach perhaps the most famous verse in the Bible, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. God so loved the world. And notice this, the world in John's gospel is not used in a positive way. The world in John's gospel includes rebellion against God. It includes all the sin, all the brokenness, all the resistance against God. And God so loves this world that he's made salvation possible by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Not by Lent alone, by the way. Because if giving up biscuits saved us, we'd all be saints by Easter, wouldn't we? I suppose. Don't worry about Nicodemus, by the way. He turned out fine in the end. We meet him again later in John's gospel. In John chapter 7, he defends Jesus against all the Jewish leaders. And in John chapter 19, after the crucifixion of Jesus, he helps to place Jesus' body in the tomb publicly. So it seems the man who came at night eventually stepped into the light. And perhaps that's the journey of Lent. Some of us are confident believers. Some of us are cautious questioners. Some of us might feel a bit half in the shadows. But the invitation to all of us is the same. To everyone, you must be born again. Not by effort, not by knowledge, but by God's Spirit. So, let me ask you this. Have you been born again? I know that phrase rings with us a bit funny sometimes. Back in the 80s, I remember people saying, I'm born again Christian, I'm a born again Christian. And all the Catholics and Anglicans were saying, oh, I mustn't touch that born again stuff. But nowadays we understand, don't we? It's just the Spirit came and filled people anew. Have you been born again? Not have you been baptized or christened? Not are you a decent person or a moral person? Not do you try your best? But have you received new life from above? Have you looked to the Son lifted up? Have you trusted him? I said last week that Lent is not a season of self-improvement. It's a season of returning to Jesus. And the good news is this. God loves, God saves, and God makes people alive. And he's still doing it today, even for those who come at night. Amen.